Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Everyone's a winner, baby. That's no lie.
That's no lie.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem, and TK's having the next couple of Mondays off, so you're stuck with me this morning. Looking forward to chatting to all the panel about the weekend's highlights. We had the Doomben Cup and other feature races from that meeting. We had, of course, the Lord Mayor's Cup program at Rose Hill. The Goodwood was run in Adelaide, and we've had other feature racing, which we'll discuss on this week, where it is TAB National Jockeys Trust Appeal Week. And from today, you can go to njt.com.au and support jockeys that are fighting hard times or fighting injuries. We'll talk more about that through the program, but it's on this week. The main day is Saturday, but you can go to that website for TAB National Jockeys Trust Appeal Week. Ron Duffacy, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. It's a good week's racing. It looked a solid program at Rose Hill Gardens, and Robbie Dolan continued his winning ways and looked set for that Apprentice Premiership, winning three races he won there, and Desert Lord and Grey Lion seemed to steal the show. And I really enjoyed the Doomben meeting, being up there, and it was Kieran Maher, David Eustace and John Allen that finished the day off very, very strongly there.
He's a fantastic bloke when the vision goes on Kieran Maher. He's laid back, never wears a tie. That's his trademark now, but you can sense that he really does enjoy it with all the owners.
Yeah, he does. He does enjoy it. He's doing a great job with a big, big string now, and he's placing them beautifully. And he enjoys his wins. That's what I like to see. He really enjoys his wins.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Dean Lester knows all about Kieran Maher, of course, Victorian based, but now he's got stables everywhere. Morning to you, Dean.
Yes, good morning, Andrew. Morning, Duff.
Mate, he's come a long way, Kieran Maher, you know, from a bloke down at the Bull trying to win a grand annual down there through his carnival now, combination with David Eustace, and capable of taking horses everywhere and winning.
Yeah, well, his CV now he's got group performances with 2-year-olds like we've seen with Dubious this season. We've seen him win a Coolmore with Merchant Navy. We've seen him a mile with Tears I Cry, a Caulfield Cup with Jamaica, and five grand annuals over 5,500 metres. So to say he's a versatile trainer would be an understatement.
Yeah, for sure. Josh Fleming called at home. Canedna in the Doomben Cup, as well as Tana in the Roses. Morning to you, Josh.
Yeah, morning to you, Andrew. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, he's got a real love affair with Queensland, doesn't he, Kieran? That's his third Group 1 winner up here. It's for Candy back in the Stradbroke a few years ago. Won the Derby, of course, and now the Doomben Cup. And, John Allen got up on the inside there and got the cash. And he was on the flight back home yesterday morning, rode to Bendigo, I think, didn't he, Dean? So pretty tidy effort that. But
just a lazy treble too, Josh. So.
Yeah. And I think he was out celebrating a bit Saturday night as well. So he obviously handled the backup pretty well.
Yeah, fantastic result. What about Tie Zone, Josh? The excitement around this sprinter going forward for the next few weeks?
Yeah, he's just a little star, isn't he? Started his career in North Queensland, was trained up there by Roy Chalemi. We saw him down here under Roy's care, and he was highly competitive in southeast Queensland. Then he went back up north and won more races again up there, and now he's with Toby Evans. Of course, his record's outstanding. He'd love to own one like him, and he was brilliant winning the BRC sprint there. A couple of hard luck stories behind him, but he can't help that. He was in the clear out wide, and he raced away to win, and he's on the third line of betting for the Strab right now, so he's going to go there, and no reason why it wouldn't be hard to beat.
Oh, good line. Good introduction to our TAB, Glenn Munsey, Read the Markets. Morning to you, Muns.
Yes, good morning, Andrew. Love to have you working on a Monday. Good morning to you, Ronnie, to Dino, and also to Josh and Andrew. I hate to pick you up on anything because, you know,
what have I done already?
You are basically my boss in one way. I've got about 30 of them now.
Definitely not.
But it's the njt.org.au, the National Jockeys Trust website. njt.com.au is not just trophies, but njt.org.au is the National Jockeys Trust. And as you well know, Andrew, an organisation very, very close to my heart, the National Jockeys Trust. and I'd like to get their website correct if that was possible.
Yes, for sure. No, well, my apologies. I got sent an email that obviously has got the wrong email on it.
Don't worry about it, Andrew. what would anyone know, you know, in our organisation, you know, something connected with racing?
No, we'll be right. So njt.org.au for TAB National Jockeys Trust Appeal, and we'll talk more about it through the week. That response, Glenn, from Tyzone, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what direction Toby Edmonds wants to take the horse now.
Well, why wouldn't you run in the Stradbroke, Andrew? I had the honour of sitting next to his owner, Tommy Headley, at the Hall of Fame dinner on Friday night, and Tommy was excited. The fact he basically had a horse good enough to run in a race like it was running in on Saturday, he'd be absolutely over the moon now that the way that he went. And all it's done, and I know Ronnie's going to back me up here, is highlighted the strength of that race at Randwick, where he had absolutely zero luck, and he came into that race and was double figures on Saturday. And, a corker of a ride from Blake Shin, and it was interesting to hear comments from Blake. Nathan Exerby wrote a little piece on him in the Courier-Mail yesterday saying, well, he put his hand up after the race and said, I stuffed that one up. I want to stick with this horse. And he repaid both Toby and Tommy with the ride on Saturday.
Well, that was the race, the Hallmark Stakes, the Trekking one, and I think Trekking's probably might be the go-to horse for the Stradbroke. So that is form, and it's worked out that way. The most astonishing thing, I know it's after the ball, but why was he $11 in a race like that? Surely he was a clear second pick in that race as far as doing a market's concerned. But anyway, it's the one that got away from him.
Yeah, probably not the only market that was wrong over the weekend, Ron.
No, exactly right. They're always wrong, but I mean...
Duff, did they just jump to chapter and verse, though, given the way that the horse won first run?
Yeah. He was entitled to be favourite, but he was dead set, should have been right on his heels, Tyzone, as far as form's concerned, and coming out of that Hallmark Stakes and looking at the replay of that Hallmark Stakes, and then you look at his, you know, 15 wins from 30 starts. Mm. You had to go to him.
I will say that. And Dean, with Brent Stanley, he doesn't mind travelling. And when he does travel, they normally do okay, like Violate.
Yeah, Andrew, he's quite ambitious with his placement of him and travelling, as you said, and you know, usually perform pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. Brent texted me yesterday. He's desperate to get into the Stradbroke. And this time next week, Glenn, the weights will be coming out for the Stradbroke. A lot of horses run this week, obviously, in the Kingsford Smith Cup. But there's still going to be a few that will be sweating on their weights and sweating on getting a start. Have you got a Stradbroke maker currently in front of you?
Well, certainly, Andrew. Larry's here. He's always ready and willing to help everyone out on a Monday morning. But, it's a market that has undergone a bit of change over the weekend. Well, Zoo Style's the $6 favourite. No absolute certainty to go on to the Stradbroke for Tony Gollan. You've got Trekking there, and it was interesting to hear James Cummings' comments to us on Saturday when we said, where is he? He said, don't worry, he's going to the Stradbroke. He's an $8 second pick with Tyzone, the Bostonian. Well, Tony Pike's got to make a decision this week whether he runs in the Kingsford Smith as
tomorrow.
Well. Yeah, that he's an $11 chance. Chapter and Verse is $15. The Goodwood winner, Dispatch, dollar for dollar, who was second in the 10,000 at $15. Encryption, Home of the Brave, Outback Barbie, Plague Stone, Ring a Ding Ding, and Victorum and Widgie Turf. They're all at $15. And then you go out to $26 and longer there. I think Plague Stone's a mammoth question mark. In fact, I think it's more of a no than a question mark for the Stradbroke. Ring-a-ding-ding, I think you'll find runs this Saturday in the Kingsford Smith. Victoria Widgie Turf's a definite yes. Whether Dispatch comes over, it's
definitely
coming.
Yeah,
it's coming on the back of its Goodwood win. So, you know, it's not an easy race to try and work out at the moment, the Stradian. Well, and back at Eagle Farm, of course, makes it even more of a little bit of a question mark.
Godolphin will run three this week, Encryption, Home of the Brave and Trekking. They'll run at this point in the Kingsford Smith Cup. Duff, you were there on the weekend to watch Zoo Style. Given that he missed the Gold Coast run and Saturday was his first up run, does the Stradbroke on June 8 come up too quick?
I think it might. I really do. I think it might. But Tony's very coy what he wants to do with him. You know, we're to the eye first up there, you think, wow, he's very, very good. And then Coolista's come out and run faster time than him, which is not the be-all and end-all, considering, you know, there's probably two different sort of races. But, yeah, he's an interesting horse as far as where does he go next with him. he'd obviously need another run if he went into a Stradbroke. So it's hard. Mm. It's the timing is not ideal, and he even brought up the old Everest, throwing his hat in the ring for the Everest with Zeus style. So
thought that'd be the main priority, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we think so. Yeah, so a little quiet, little winter here, and then tick him away again for the if he can get a slot. But he'd like to show him off again next time. I know that.
Josh, you've called him and watched him develop in all of his runs. He's just got the talent to lead, but quickened too, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got such a high cruising speed, Andrew. He's so professional as well. He jumps and he travels, and early on he was blowing his rivals away, but sort of when he's won more recently, he's not blowing them away as such, but he just safely holds them as well. Like he sort of holds that length and a half, 2 lengths margin, so while he doesn't blow them off the park, he never looks like being beaten at the same time. He just jumps, he travels, he's so professional, and he does it so well, and he's unblemished. He's 6 from 6, and look up in the air whether he goes to the Stradbroke or not. They'd have to probably go to the Morton Cup if they wanted to press on, but they've got other options as well for him. There could be a support race for him on Stradbroke Day, maybe even the Heatley Stakes if they don't go the Stradbroke path. But look, they've got a few options there, but Tony's done a great job with him. Missed that run, as we all know about, of the Gold Coast. We need to scratch on that very wet track that day, but he was able to bounce back and win there on Saturday, and he was just never in danger. I don't think Plagstone's very smart, but he safely held him, and he held that margin down the straight to win well.
Has he ever been headed, sure, Josh?
I don't think he has. No, no. I think he's just led all the way, all the time. He beat Outback Barbie back in the Gold Edition over the summer. I think he won on debut at Toowoomba in a maiden, and then he came to an open two-year-old here at Calandra, and he was buried there. He won by 3.5 lengths. So I don't think he has, Glenn, to be quite truthful. He's just jumped, he's run, he's travelled, and they haven't been able to get him.
Dean, you've watched him on the TV Zoo style. What do you think? How do you rate him, that sort of things?
Yeah, I'd be interested to see him on a bigger track, Andrew. That's the other thing. He's been getting around Doomben, but he sort of wandered off a bit off the first turn and off the home turn. I think looking forward to seeing him in Eagle Farm. He's been to the Sunshine Coast once, of course, but maybe the bigger track again.
Okay, so Zoo Style, the favourite for the Stradbroke, and Toby Edmonds will sweat it out just to see where Ty Zone's next run is, and we'll see Trekking this week. And Dean, just while we're on the Stradbroke, we saw Dispatch win the Goodwood, and Tony McAvoy keen to get the horse now to Brisbane. Where do you put Dispatch in a Stradbroke off what he's been doing of late?
Oh, Andrew, I think recent history's shown that it's been a good guide, but I don't know if it will be this year. That was his first run at 1,200. I think 1,400 will be another challenge again. It's very interesting. Tony McAvoy made mention of it after the race on Saturday. He's been a bit of a barrier rogue, and in South Australia they've introduced a rule where they call them risk horses, and he wears a blindfold and he goes in last. Now that's fine, but that doesn't happen in other states, so he won't be like that when he goes to Brisbane, I couldn't imagine.
No.
Mm, okay, that's interesting.
Unless he draws barrier 20, he's 10 or 20, he won't be the last in. So it's certainly helped his form because he's not fighting with the barrier attendants before the start.
I don't mind that if they're proven risk horses. So sometimes you get a few cheating saying, oh, he's a risk horse. But if he's a proven...
You can be disadvantaged if you draw next to them, so that's where it's a good rule for all, but it can be a bit of an advantage going in late, I suppose.
Yeah. In the old days, you'd always have a risk course. Yeah, of course. Mate, this is a bit of a dodgy.
Yeah, always saddling.
Put this in last if you don't mind, and you'd have the bloke sweep behind the barrier and be right down the back of the chute. Let him go. Yeah. But if he's been rated as the steward by the stewards as a risk course...
Yeah.
Maybe that carries across because it's a steward's ruling. It's not an application from the trainer.
No, I don't think it would. I think we've got it rules. Well, no, in Sydney, that you've got to educate your.
No, person. And Tony was calling for it to be maybe an Australia-wide rule in time, but at the moment it's only South Australia.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, so that's Dispatch who won the Goodwood. By the way, we invite your calls. I'm only new at this gig, so 13. What's the number, Glenn? What do they ring?
1353 Andrew, to call and you just run the show there. Don't chip in.
Well,
you know, very much
it.
Like TK.
Well,
just wait for Kurt, Andrew. 9:58 and 3/4. You'll be getting a red flashing light there. It'll be Kurt on the line.
Very, very tight for time here this morning.
Oh no, we don't have that here, Andrew.
I hope he's got a question for you.
Yeah, he might have a question for Andrew.
I'm just a bit shaken. I'm a bit shaken off njt.org.au. That's why I'm coming to the phone number with you. But you can phone now, 1353 53, and we'll put you to where straight after our first break. Tanya's there waiting for you. Duff, Atana won the Roses, beating Alliferous, and Scarlet Dream, the decision now that they want to go to Eagle Farm and won't be running in the Oaks.
Yeah, they were threatening that early on, and I think it's a good decision. Well, I've had a little bit honour at the Oaks at Big Odds, in the Derby at Big Odds, so I'm happy with the decision. Did she do enough on Saturday? I think she did. She popped out the back and she ran on without the flashing light, but I just think that'll top her off for the mile and a half, and I think Mark will have the timing right. I'm not so sure about these colts in the Derby. So it's worth a crack. You know, we've had a filly, you know, won the South Australian Derby. We've had fillies being competitive pretty well all season. So it's worth a crack, and he might get a result. So it's an interesting shape up of the Derby, if not the Oaks as well. The Oaks is just impossible. There's different angles you can look at the Oaks, and good runs and bad runs, and who's on the improve, who's on the way back. I could rattle off 15 chances in this Oaks.
One of those is Alliferous, the way she finished off. Josh, from a local point of view, the market, I think, tells us, Glenn will give it to us in a tick, but I think it's sort of interstate fillies are dominating the Oaks, but there is Brian Smith with Bell Rock.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of different form lines, isn't there, Andrew? Bell Rock ran very well. She's only beaten about a length and a half, but there are certainly some eye-catchers behind Atana. Alliferous was unlucky. Welsh Legend ran well getting up on the inside there. But as you spoke about, Duff, you've got format of that race. You've got Duchess of Lennox, who ran well against the older horses there over 2,000 metres, word for word. We haven't seen her since the Gold Coast. And Intrigue coming out of winning that midweek race up here at the Sunshine Coast. That's been a well-worn path by Tony Pike before, with a Provocative coming out of a midweek at Ipswich to win the Oaks a few years ago. So you're right, you've got sort of three or four different form lines all going to that race, and it's 2,200 metres at Doomben. And it's interesting, they want to take the Derby path with the other horse you were speaking about, Scarlet Dream, because they want the big track in 2,400 metres. So you've got one on the tighter track and one on the bigger track. So it's interesting that they're game enough and confident enough to take on the boys and go to the bigger track at Eagle Farm at 2,400.
Yeah, well, so my Glenn, mileage, you won't see word for word at all.
No.
Oh, okay.
She suffered a little injury. That's why she didn't pay up for Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the Oaks market right now?
Well, Atana's the new favourite, and I'll blow my own trumpet here, Andrew. We did tell you before the race on Saturday, I said I can't work out how Scarlet Dream was a $4.80 chance in the Oaks and was a $3 chance on Saturday. Atana was a $26 chance in the Oaks 10 minutes before the last race on Saturday, and it was $4.60 against Scarlet Dream. Jumped a $15 chance in the Oaks before the Doomben Roses, was then made, I think, an $8 chance, and with Scarlet Dream coming out yesterday, is now the $5 favourite for the Queensland Oaks over Alliferous at $6, Duchess of Lennox and Word for Word at $8 each of two, but I think she's just screaming to get to Eagle Farm, Duchess of Lennox.
She might win the Derby.
Yeah, Intrigue, who, Josh, you saw win at the Sunny Coast, the Kiwi filly there off that run at the Gold Coast at 11. You've got Guy's, House of Cartier, who we haven't seen since Adelaide. Mirette on the white turf. Well, she was maybe possibly ridden upside down the other or on Saturday. 15, Re-edit, Welsh Legend, and Winning Ways all at 15 as well. So, an intriguing race. And remember, the Oaks has run at Doomben.
Yeah,
that's the key. That's the key why Scarlet Dream's going the other way. Dean, you would have watched these races. Have you got a feel about Saturday's race with Atana winning, but those other horses around, like and that we saw on the day?
Yeah, Andrew. Look, I listened to Duff on Saturday morning say about the barrier draw and how it was going to advantage Atana, and it probably comes down to a bit of that again, being Doomben again in 2 weeks' time. It's going to be significant.
Okay, so there are a few of the highlights. Quillista, obviously, on the clock, Duff, was there that last 633.61 for the day. Zoo Style in a different race because, well, in fairness, Brad Stewart probably throttled the horse down a little bit late, didn't he?
Yep, he did, sorry. Sorry, was that his top, though, Zoo Style? But she's a... Her three runs for Team Snowden have been outstanding, this Quillista. She's a bit of a hothead, but she can run. She can really run. I was calling for her to run in the Stradbroke, but she's obviously not in it. But she's going to a broodmare sale. Well, she was. And she's a flying mare at the moment. She is on fire.
Okay, so Josh, any other highlights from a Brisbane point of view that we haven't mentioned?
Look, I thought the run of Gem of Scotland was outstanding, and the Bill Carter honours went to Peruto there in that two-year-old race. But Gem of Scotland, she came in undefeated, and she was unlucky to be beaten there from the bad alley. She went back, had to get to the outside, and ran home very well. Obviously, California Zimbal was heavily back there and had no luck from the alley either. Drew 15, was four deep the trip, so there were so many hard luck tales throughout the day. In Good Time, we know, was unlucky in the Chief de Beers. That went to the heavily back favourite. I saw him just defeated the old Warriors, Traturba, who ran very well again. Look, you go to the BRC Sprint, there are unlucky runs there. Look, Chapter and Verbs drew barrier one. That was just no good to him. He was better off drawing gate 10 and getting to the outside. And if you can get to the outside on the big track at Eagle Farm, there's still a live chance in the Stradbroke for sure.
Yeah, I think it's going to back up this week. Desley texted me last night. We'll be nominated for a Class 6 at Eagle Farm on Saturday over the 1,400 metres chapter and verse. Yeah. Duff, you were there. Any other major highlights you want to talk about?
Not really. I think it was a well-balanced program in Surrey, and was probably one of the better back runners all day and probably be lucky to get home, but just a brilliant McDonald ride. But it was a well-balanced program and a good lead-up for the next few weeks. The form lines will be looking at those form lines and over the next month for sure.
I guess the only one, Glenn, the only one we didn't really talk about was the winner of the Cup, Canedna. I must admit, I haven't heard too much about the short-term racing. Have you heard anything, Duff, whether it's going to stay and race up there again?
I'm not sure what they're thinking with her. Look, she's been to Randwick and running the Queen of the Turf. She's had the Hollandale. She was up and going in the Sunline in March.
We spoke with Dave Eustace yesterday on Melbourne Radio, and he said that that'd probably be it.
Yeah.
And with a Winks Free Zone, they wouldn't mind having a crack at the Cox Plate.
Yeah, I don't know what Chris is thinking with Jem Song now. I don't know what he's
undecided. Undecided. Yeah.
60s Groove was a great. The timing. Yeah. The timing's perfect for 60s Groove for the Brisbane Cup.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Spot on. I think Larry Cassidy's doing his best to stay on it in the Brisbane Cup.
Yep. Yeah. Why wouldn't he?
And on that point then, Grey Lion's going to head there, Duff. You watched it on the TV on Saturday, but the horse, we spoke with Matt Smith on Saturday morning, and he was quite upbeat the way the horse is just being trained at the moment, and it was a gutsy effort to hold off Girl Tuesday.
Yeah, they're the two Brisbane Cup horses, Grey Lion and 60s Groove. Grey Lion, and that was it looked like he had every hope, and he did have every hope, but that was a terrific win. They went out harder than expected, and they thought it looked a slow race on paper, so they rode him closer, so out of his comfort zone. He was there for the backmarkers to eat him up late, and he fought him off.
Yeah, it was a gutsy effort, no doubt about that. Munns, there's no Brisbane Cup market, is there, at this stage?
No, the Brisbane Cup is a Group 2 race that'll be run. I've got my calendar here. Brisbane Cup.
June 8.
June 8.
Yeah, so it's... Yeah. A Group 2 race, so therefore the nominations will be taken on the Monday morning, and hopefully we'll be putting up a market on that Monday morning off the nom. So the maximum handicap weight there is 61 and a minimum of 53. So that's a $400,000 Group 2 event on Stratty Day. So you've got the Stratty, the Derby, the JJ Atkins, the Queensland Guineas, the Brisbane Cup, the Dane Ripper, the Daybreak Lover, the Wayne Wilson, and then the Dr. John Power, which is now known as the Hinkler.
Yeah, so, while you got that to calendar open, when are the Stradbroke weights?
Stradbroke weights are next Monday at next Monday. First acceptance next Wednesday. Late nominations next Wednesday, and then acceptance is the following Wednesday at 9 o'clock, with the barrier draw to be conducted at 10:30 at Eagle Farm on Wednesday, June 5, and the race, of course, run on Saturday, June 8.
Okay, just confirming that word for word, Charlie Duckworth, I just sent him a text to get an update officially, and she's not going there, and the stewards have been notified, so there'll be some release, and you'll be able to take her out of that market there, Glenn.
Yeah, as I said, I think she suffered an injury early last week, Andrew, and that's why, a minor injury, but enough to rule her out. That's why she didn't run Saturday.
Okay, yeah, and the,
get the stewards an email, they should be giving it to the betting organisation. So,
well, that's the process in Sydney. You send an email, and the stewards send then out a notification because there's betting being conducted on the race, and they inform the punters and everyone that what is actually happening with the horse and for it to be scratched.
Okay, so that's word for word. Chris Lees is discussing Gem Song with Guri later today to determine which way they're going. And Toby Edmonds has just let us know, guys, that Ty Zone is all over the Stratty. And that's his next race. Won't run again until then. So the weights this time next week, Glenn, are going to be crucial to everything here.
Well, and the strange situation will be Osborne Bulls will be top weight for the Stratty, but it won't be running. So there's a situation there regarding, I think the top weight has to carry 57,
yep.
No matter what. So,
58, I think it is, 58.
Yeah. Oh, right. So, the weights will go up, you would think, for the final field.
I think it's ridiculous. I think the horse is in the paddock. He should be taken out of nominations and not weighted. That's the personal opinion. It's just going to compress those weights. They're going to go up 3 or 4 kilos. There's no group. We're going to have a 58 top weight with no group one winner. You know, it's silly. I think it's silly.
All right, we'll wait and see. Sorry, because I was getting a text here. What was the horse, Glenn, you just mentioned there?
Osborne Bulls.
Yeah, okay.
he's likely to be top weight at 58, but he's not running.
Yeah.
So therefore,
understand.
The weights will have to
understand.
Go up.
Yeah. Yep, understand. All right, we're going to take us to the latest in sports. It's been a big sports morning with the golf. Dean, how'd you go there? Did you back the winner?
Yes, Andrew.
That's good.
The second one, though, would have been better, but not to be.
Oh, well, you can't complain. You're back to winner. Maddie, you've got the latest in sports news.
Well, speaking of golf, Brooks Koepka has won his fourth golf major championship in less than 2 years, claiming the US PGA Championship by 2 shots despite a horror final round. Koepka recorded 5 back-9 bogeys during a 4-over par 74 at New York's tough Bethpage Black course to eke out an unexpectedly narrow victory at 8-under. Rooster star and 2-time Dally M medalist Cooper Cronk is expected to announce his retirement from the NRL at a press conference in Sydney this morning. The Sydney Roosters have called the conference in Sydney for a significant announcement. No further details have been provided, but it's understood that Cronk will announce he's calling time on his career after 16 seasons in the NRL. Meanwhile, St George Illawarra coach Paul McGregor has threatened to make changes to his team following their huge loss to Newcastle yesterday. The Dragons were hammered 45-12 by the Knights in Mudgee, marking their fourth straight loss. While former Premier League striker Adam Lafondra says winning the A-League Championship with Sydney FC is one of his crowning achievements. The Sky Blues had a goal disallowed after VAR ruled offside, but the Sky Blues held their nerve in the shootout, claiming a record-equalling fourth title, 4-1 on penalties. That's all the latest on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
We're going to take a break here on Punter's Postmortem, and then we invite your calls. You can call Tanya now. She's chomping at the bit this morning. All the text messages coming through, and you can ring her right now to have a chat with Ron Duffacy, Josh Fleming, Glenn Munsey, Dean Lester. They're all online. Ring us now, 13 53 53.
It doesn't matter what time of the year it is. The group racing on Sky Sports Radio just keeps on coming. Every day we have New South Wales pre-race updates, interviews, analysis and the late mail. Enhance your winning chance with Sky Sports Radio.
Breeding prospects like never before at the Magic Millions National Broodmare Sale, May 28 to 31 on the Gold Coast. The biggest and best lineup of race fillies, broodmares and stallion prospects in the Southern Hemisphere with over 1,100 lots. Graduates of the sale include the dams of recent stars, Winx, Santa Ana Lane, Trapeze Artist and Angel of Truth. This year's sale includes over 200 black type fillies and mares, ranging from 2-year-old stakes performers to Group 1 producers. For more information and to view the catalogue, visit magicmillions.com.au.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta. And coming soon to Liverpool.
Sky Sports Radio is at your fingertips on social media. Get the racing tips, tab markets, sports updates and podcasts every day. And stay right up to date on Twitter at Sky Sports Radio 1.
You're listening to Punter's Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Yes, as it said there, give us a call, 13 53 53. Talk to the best form analysts around the country, and we invite your calls through till 10 o'clock. 13 53 53. Ron Duffacy, Josh Fleming, Dean Lester and Glenn Munsey are all with us. And Duff, I'll ask you about re-edit off a text message here coming through from Shannon. How did you think re-edit's run there in the Roses?
My horse to follow from the weekend. I'm saying how hard this Oaks is going to be, but that filly is not going to be out of my numbers in that top four. I can guarantee you that. I think she's still yet to peak. She looks a real stay. I wish it was a mile and a half, but if that text person likes re-edit, I'm inclined to agree. She runs through the line, and she's a nice filly, and she'll run well in the Oaks.
Okay, so Shannon will certainly appreciate that. Let's get some calls. 13 53 53, and he's a regular. Balmain Max. Morning, Balmain.
Good morning, Andrew, mate, I'm going to give you a wrap first up.
Oh, jeez.
No wonder he got straight through.
O'Hara, mate. You know what I mean?
Yes, Kathy, yes.
Yeah,
I've heard you on the show. I've heard you on the show in the past with TK.
Yeah, no worries, mate. But what I want to talk about is a horse called Omahu Beach for the Melbourne Cup. And I just want to know who trains him and what price he is, mate.
Okay. Do you know the spelling?
O-M-A-H-U. Beach, B-A-C-H. It's a beach in America.
Right.
I think that's what the horse is named after. Whether he's American or whether he's European, I don't know.
Okay. Has anyone at all spotted that horse, panel?
I'm going through the market now, and I can't see him at this stage.
No. I think, Balmain, it's one that I'm going to have to jot down and try and find an answer.
Curdle, no.
Yeah, well, another one I want to talk about is Jayco's Freedom for the Melbourne Cup.
Yes.
Jayco, as in Caravans?
Jayco's, J-A-G-O-S, Freedom. And who trains him, mate?
Can't see it at the moment either.
No, leave that with us, Balmain.
We're only putting horses up that we've either someone has requested a price on or we think could potentially either run in the Melbourne Cup or has been indicated by connections or whatever in a race overseas. Django Freeman is a 100-to-1 chance. Right? D-J-A-N-G-O after the movie. Freeman. So it's 100-to-1 in the Melbourne Cup. And there's $318 on it already, so you haven't got it on your own.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on those, Balmain, and as soon as we get some information on who trains them and things like that, we'll certainly air it here on Punter's Postmortem. Let's go to Peter. Morning to you, Pete. You there, Pete?
Hello, yeah.
Yeah, how are you going, mate? What can we do for you?
I'd just like to... there was talk of a two-year-old running in the open weight race in Brisbane. I just want to remind everyone that a two-year-old won the Stradbroke way back in 1958. Wiggle won and Billy Tamer rode it. It was a fantastic effort. One of the great efforts on turf.
Yeah, that'll be dubious this week. Dubious, yeah. Smith, dubious. Nikita Berryman will ride it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big ask, isn't it, Duff, a two-year-old taking on the older horses?
Yeah, it is a big ask, but it's late in the season, and, it adds interest, I feel. It adds a lot of interest. He's a tough little two-year-old, too.
He must have an amazing constitution, because everyone that looks at him at the races says, geez, he looks as though that you could do with the run.
He must enjoy just being... He must enjoy stable life, you know. He's taken him around the country, and he actually hasn't had a lot of runs, but he feels like he's had a...
Yeah, he's just been around.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he kicked off at the two-year-old trials in Sydney.
Yep.
He raced in the Golden Slipper, he raced in the Magic Mare, and he had time off. He came back the other day, and here he is in the Brisbane Winter Carnival.
Exactly.
I think when he won, what did he win the first race, the Breeders?
Breeders'
Plate. Yeah, I think Kieran Maher said that day that was the eighth track that he galloped on before his first start, that, you know, they travelled him around for gallops and trials and things, and that was last October. Since then, he's been, you know, another probably five or six tracks. Who knows?
And I've got a text message from a listener. Omaha Beach is the three-year-old that was favoured for the Kentucky Derby but was scratched leading up to it due to an injury. So that's where that gentleman's got that name from, Omaha Beach.
Omaha
Not
Beach.
Omaha, right. Omaha right Beach. On. And thank you to right Greg on. From Newcastle for that.
No, thank you. And Dubious goes into the Kingsford Smith, as Munns mentioned, Nikita Berriman takes the ride. Thanks for your call, Pete. Hope it's a good winning week for you. A couple of texts have come through, guys. The distance of the Stradbroke this year at Eagle Farm. What are we looking at there, Josh?
Yeah, 1,400. It'll be back to its traditional home, 1,400 Eagle Farm. I think they'll run 18 in it. They did just run 20 in the Stradbroke for quite some time, but the only Stradbroke that I've called at Eagle Farm, they ran 18. Obviously, when it went back to Doomben, they can only run 16 there, and that's another difference between the Oaks and the Derby. They'll run 18 in the Derby and 16 in the Oaks, but the Stradbroke will be 1,400 back to its traditional home, and they'll run, I think, 18 in it.
Okay, so 1353 is the number to talk to the guys. I've got a question here from, or not really a question, Dean, but the story of John Allen, you know, around his Group 1 success. You mentioned, obviously, a Doomben, but then going back and riding a treble yesterday. This is a remarkable story, isn't it?
Oh, it is, Andrew. I mean, he came out here basically to ride track work and pick up the odd jumps ride and try and eke out something. And it was Darren Weir that saw something in him straight away and kept promoting him. And I think a few owners were reluctant to put him on the flat, to be honest, because they were thinking they're getting a jumps jockey. But, you know, 3 or 4 years on, it's been vindicated, and he's going great guns.
He is. 1353 as Peter was called. Morning to you, Pete. Hello, Pete.
G'day there, Andrew.
Yeah, what's going on, mate?
No, not too much, mate. Just interested in the show. Enjoyed very much.
Fantastic.
Just to follow on to what you just mentioned, I had a question for Dino, and I was very pleased to see the comments made by Kieran Maher after Canedna won on Saturday, giving some credit to Darren Weir. And I was wondering if there are any statistics on how many winners have come from former Darren Weir horses in their new stables.
No, but they're going along well, and there's horses that you probably wouldn't have even known that were going to be with the stable. A horse like Harbour Views yesterday, who never raced for the stable, it's two from two. And so there's there isn't any stats, but they keep rolling along, that's for sure.
Yes, he's even winning for trainers that were quite vocal in their comments after the incident.
Yep.
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of them were about to launch off, Dean, going back to when the hearings took place. There would have been a group of horses, so many of them ready to go. And as we know, Kieran Maher has now got that Ballarat base that he's working off.
Yeah, well, a lot of those horses look like they're going to be relocated, Andrew. But when Kieran took over the whole thing, and a lot of owners decided then that they'd keep the horses where they're in familiar surrounds. So, it's been a win for him for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Another question on the two-year-olds, the size this week, Josh, and we're looking forward to seeing another group of two-year-olds going through, and Disruptor is one that our texter here is excited to see again on the weekend up there.
Yeah, I think we got a message about Disruptor last week. It was a real eye-catching run there in the Champagne the other day, so I think it'll be a suited 1,400 metres at Eagle Farm in the size, and obviously, we're going to see a lot go from that race and head towards the Atkins a couple of weeks after that. So, I'll be happy to stay on the tail of Disruptor. Its run there the other day was terrific at Doomben. A couple of good runs in the race, but it was one of the better runs. And I think 1,400 metres on the big track, it'll be hard to beat, Andrew.
Disruptor's the horse that runs second to Reloaded, who's the Atkins favourite. And most people, I think, would have thought Reloaded would run in the sires next week. But Chris is taking, well, he's going to be nominated for both the sires and in Sydney, but he wants to take the Autumn Sun Path and run him in Sydney before going for the JJ Atkins. So that's the plan, I would have thought. So
well, he knows what it takes with a great record on the race, doesn't he?
Yeah, he knows how to approach it. But I'm just saying, be careful when those early markets come out Monday for the sires, and I'd be very careful if you wanted to back Reloaded All In.
Yeah, he told us on Saturday that he would enter for both, but he had a preference to Sydney.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Question for Dean in regard to dollar for dollar. It runs this week in the Kingsford Smith Cup. Have you watched it recent runs here? A question from Panic Out at Wagga.
Yeah, we spoke of him last week, Andrew, and the horse is going well. I think the Stradbroke's more his race, 1,400 handicap, but he's a very honest horse. He very rarely runs badly. Whether he's got a third run in him at 1,200 metres would be my little query.
Anything that wins this Kingsford Smith's going to be hammered in the weights for this Stradbroke, that's for
sure. Yeah, becoming a Group 1 winner.
Yeah, really hammered.
Duff Youngstar on Saturday. A question on text around Youngstar.
I thought she was the Doomben Cup horse this preparation, and she worried me in the Hollandale. She didn't finish off on a preferred wet track. I don't think she's going as well as she was as a three-year-old. There's no doubt about that. And she
have surgery in the off-season?
She may have.
May have something after the Melbourne Cup.
She could well have. But, you know, I dropped off her on Saturday. I just don't know whether she's going that well. She's chipping away, but she's not dominant.
Okay, question to you, Duffery, chapter and verse. I heard the panel say it needs to get to the outside to perform at its best. Have you got a feel on that, Duff? And Josh, you can come into this knowing chapter and verse as well.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I don't think gate one was much good to him. He was sort of back in the ruck there and had to hold a course in the straight and had a bit of a checkered passage. When he won at Eagle Farm the start before, on the bigger track, that was when he got to the outside. He just roared past him, raced away and won by 3 lengths. So that's his go. Get to the outside, get plenty of room. And, I don't think gate one helped him. Had he got into the clear at the right time, it was going to be hard to hold out. He was just sort of cramped up in behind them a bit. Not really his go. Still Stradbroke down. Still hard to beat, in my opinion, because that's his right go. Big track, 1,400. Get to the outside, and that's his go. He can really hit the line hard.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. We're all talking. He was unlucky there on Saturday, but geez, he was no more unlucky than Nikanova in the same race. It was first up. I thought he was the eye catcher out of that race, and he's a little smoky. He could bob up at big odds this Nikanova in a good race.
Yeah, he's a good little nice trayer, Steve Tregear. Yeah, he's always got these two or three, but they always perform, Josh.
Yeah, he doesn't have a big team up there at Toowoomba, Steve, but I don't think he's got one horse in the stable that can't gallop. Look, I know Prioritise dipped down on the Doomben Cup. It's a bit out of his depth there. He'd been going well last preparation, but Nikanova's always been very smart. I called him when he won on debut up here at Calandra, and he's gone on to bigger and better things after that, and he's got a nice horse coming through the ranks called Angel Dane, who's won its last couple. So he doesn't have a massive team, but he's always got a couple of smart ones there that can gallop.
Josh, I know we're going back to Eagle Farm this week. Have we had enough meetings there so far to get back to the old rule, you know, forget about a Madoom and wait till they get to Eagle Farm? Have we seen enough horses completely turn around once they get back over the road?
Yeah, I think there's a few there that you'd rather be with at Eagle Farm than at Doomben, and we just spoke about one in chapter and verse. And look, I think so. I think if you see one that puts you in an eye-catching run without luck at Doomben, they can get to the bigger track and be a different proposition there at Eagle Farm. So I suppose it's a matter of looking at what we've seen at Doomben and at Eagle Farm and see which ones go better at what track. And I think there's going to be a few that will improve when they get to the bigger track.
Okay, you can give us a call, 1353 53. I'd love to get a couple of calls in before you know who phones in. Let's really make it difficult for him to get through this morning. 1353 53. Hey, Dean, on Flemington, the win of Be Good to Your Mother for Daniel Bowen. It was a dominating favourite. How progressive is this horse going to be?
Oh, he's jumped out of the ground this time in, Andrew. He's won four in a row, and his first preparation, he won a race, but you wouldn't have thought this was coming, to be honest. And it was a good win on Saturday because he missed the start. There was an interference at about the 1,000 where Ethan Brown got suspended for checking him, and that fired him up a bit more. And then just coming to the turn, he probably could have come outside the heels of Eagle Ridge, but he stayed in, and it looked like it was going to be awkward there. But when he got out, he did sprint well. I think they've got really lofty aspirations, maybe 12, 18 months down the track, you know, like a race like the Rupert Clark Stakes. But in the short term, he might be a winter championship horse, I would have thought.
Okay, certainly up and going. And Declan Bates, he obviously knows this horse, and he's at this time of the year, we get these names. He's been around for a few years, Declan, but he's there now at the moment.
Yeah, he's another one that ventured over, I think probably on the back of Johnny Allen's success. He decided he'd come over, and I think he actually had a jumps license to start with, but I don't think we've seen him do that here. But he's getting a few winners. I wish he'd won on Barry the Baptist yesterday at Casterton, but he just didn't quite get home there. But he was good to your mother on Saturday, and he had another winner earlier in the week as well. So he's starting to rack up the winners.
Yeah, that's good. Let's go to our talkback line, 1353 53. Give us a call now if you want to talk about anything that's going on. And John has done that. Morning to you, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just with Dino, you were talking a minute ago about XDK Weir Runners. He's had approximately 250 horses nominated with other trainers for around 150 winners. Mm. So he was a powerful man when he was in full swing. And the fellow that sits on top of him that's now right for Mar and Eustace, that John Allen, he reminds me of Peter Cook. Soft hands, gets them travelling on a long range. When he lets them go, they really explode underneath him. Kinesi was a good example there on Saturday.
He puts a bit more into it at the end than Peter Cook does. He throws himself into it a bit more.
You go back and watch him right up until the last 200 metres. He just holds them together.
He does. That's fair. Cool.
Peter Cook was a master deputy. Never used to use a whip much, but John Allen, silky hands. And I tell you what, he's as strong as any of the other fellas when they come to the last 100.
Oh, if not stronger.
And John, you must keep your stats, John, if you've kept up to date with those nominations.
I watch him every day, mate. I get the sportsman. I do all. I'm confident to back in a weird runner, and I'm more confident when Jay Allen's on board.
Yeah, understand.
Mm. He's ridden 99 winners in Victoria this year, John Allen. He's ridden 99 winners in Victoria this year, overall statewide in Victoria.
He's ridden a couple in Queensland now, and a few in South Australia. Couple in Sydney.
One at Randwick.
One at Randwick, yeah.
Good on you, John. Appreciate your call. Good luck with the week coming up, mate. That's John. Let's go to Sam on the talkback, 1353 53. Morning to you, Sam.
Morning, gentlemen. I just had a quick question about the quadrella at Rose Hill on Saturday. I was fortunate enough to get 5% of it, but surprised at how little it was.
Well, there was a late scratching in the third leg of the quaddy, which was the favourite Deprive. So therefore, second pick, I think it was. No, it was favourite still Deprive.
Favourite, I reckon.
Yeah, so the sub becomes Desert Lord, who was the second pick. So all of the people that were on the favourite go on to the second favourite, who now becomes favourite. So therefore, there's a lot more people are on Desert Lord. So there's a lot more. You've got not twice as many people, but you basically got the two horses that were hard in the market now carrying the vast majority of the money instead of being split two ways.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good on you. Thanks very much, Sam. I think that was Sam or was it Dave? It was Sam. So let's go to Dave now. Morning to you, Dave.
How you going, Andrew?
Very well, mate. What can we do for you?
Could I talk to Dean Lester, thanks?
Yep.
He's here.
Absolutely. Righto, Dave. Right on, Dave.
Just over the last month or so, Dean, I listen all the time, you know, to the tips. And I know it's just a personal opinion, but there's four horses there just lately that they said they didn't tip them because they didn't think could run the distance, the extra distance. That was like when Avilius won at the Tancred.
He was
stepping up, you know, to the 2,400 or whatever it was.
And
very elegant in the Oaks.
Yeah.
A lot of them reckon they couldn't go from the 2,000, the Vinery, to the Oaks. And then just in Melbourne there a couple of weeks ago, that Mr. Quickie and Widgie Turf.
I can't speak for the Sydney tipsters, those ones. But I tip Mr. Quickie. I will say with Widgie Turf, I think he's a better horse at 1,400. He's won twice at 1,600, but it's just not quite his... It's not his absolute best distance, but that race they crawled and it was a sprint home, so it was perfect for him. I think if he gets in a really fast 1,600, it exposes him a little bit. But I think you've just play him on their merits, really. But Mr. Quickie proved on last Saturday in the South Australian Derby. He was running on at 2,500, so he'll run the trip.
Yeah, well, I went to the tab that day and I thought I had those two in mind, like Mr. Quickie and Widgie Turf, and I thought I just remember you saying, well, they've got to step up in distance.
Oh, I bet I tipped Mr. Quickie.
And
so
you went with, like, Times of War and...
I went with, yeah, I got that one wrong, but I did tip Mr. Quickie.
Mara of Dais or something.
No, I didn't. No, I tipped Mr. Quickie, mate.
Yeah,
no. I reckon Mark was on Mahama Dais.
Mark was on Mahama Dais, yeah.
Yeah.
None of them, you know.
Yeah, look, everyone's got their opinions. I reckon we've got the best on with Dean and Mark and David Gately now joining this Melbourne team. So stick with them, Dave, I reckon.
Those
mate,
Sydney tipsters with Avilius and very elegant. You're spot on there.
You've
got to have a decent look. You've got to have a decent look at those Sydney.
When they have those soft runs in Melbourne, they tend to, you know, you tend to sort of get a bit worried about them when they come to Sydney. You know, they haven't had the hard grounding up here in the A grade.
Yeah. I love it. Hey, Josh, just before we go to you-know-who, because I just want to delay him a little bit because he sits there and he just thinks he runs the show when he gets on air. But I want to ask you about Saturday. Oh, first up, Jim Byrne. Got a question here. Jim Byrne, he's closing in on returning?
I think he is. Yeah, I don't think he's too far away.
Well, his manager told me on Friday night he's a couple of weeks away, Cam Partington.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
So he's, I think he might have even ridden in a trial or a jump out or something the other day.
Week. And today, I think, as well.
So he's not too far away.
He's not far away, Jim Byrne, for that text person that's text through here in the last half an hour or so. We know how strong, you mentioned Gem of Scotland earlier, Josh. Peruto won that race, Nyadorp. That was a race that certainly the Queenslanders stuck up in the Bill Carter there because it was always going to be a competitive race.
Oh, definitely. Look, Tony Gollan had a strong hand in the race. He had three runners, including the winner. Peruto got the cash there. Look, if you swap the alleys, you probably swap the result. Peruto drew three. Gem of Scotland drew 14. We know the favourite from Sydney was heavily backed. It drew 15 and saw plenty of the outside rail there and no luck at all. So I guess it was the flavour of the day. We had quite a few highlight stories in a few of those races there. And Gem of Scotland and California and Zimbel were a couple out of that race. But all credit went to Peruto, owned by the team at Eureka there and well ridden by Brad Stewart. So had a good day. Brad and Tony had a double there. Peruto and then, of course, Zeus Style coming out to win the JRA plate quite impressively. But, good filly, Peruto. That was her first run since the Jewel. She struck that wet track there at the Gold Coast and ran well behind the Odyssey, but she was able to turn the tables on Nyadorp, who drew a bit awkward, drew 11, and there was Peruto on barrier three. Had a lovely run off them and got the job done. Andrew was well ridden.
And Josh, just before Kurt, the Candy Man. He went to Barry Baldwin was up in the air which way to go. They went to the Gold Coast and won a race. Mm. Can he step into it? Because I know Barry's really keen to get him into a big race during the carnival.
Yeah. Look, I think he can. I know it's easy to say after the event, but $1.50 was over the odds there on Saturday. He was way too good for them. He could have easily been shorter on the market. He loves a wet track and he toyed with his rivals down there. They scratched him from Doomben. He drew the car park. He had 62, I think it was, on his back there. So they went to the Gold Coast easier assignment there, and he just outclassed them one by about four or five. So he's in great form. I got a suspicion he might be going towards a Premier's Cup. That's a possibility for him. That'll be at Eagle Farm this Saturday. So I think I read somewhere where he could go that way. But, look, he was going to be in the market for the Chairman's last week, Group 3 level, and he didn't get a run there. He was too far down the emergencies there, but he toured with his rivals at the Gold Coast. He's in great form. I think he's ready to take that step up, and I think there's a chance we'll get some rain during the week, maybe not heavy rain, but if that track can get towards the soft and or heavy rain, it's going to suit him, the Candy Man. He loves a wet track.
Yeah, well, the Gold Coast trials are off this morning.
All right, they're getting more rain down there. The two coasts have had more rain than Brisbane. It won't stop raining on the Sunshine Coast. We haven't had a dry track here for 3 months. Mm. And the Gold Coast getting rain. But there must be that dome over Brisbane. They're not getting as much there as what the two coasts are.
And they've put up Wednesday as a heavy 10 already at the Gold Coast. Yeah. Better leave early, Josh. 20 past 11 the first.
Oh, lovely. All right. That's made my day.
Well, Nine races.
Oh, lovely.
I've been delaying it a little bit here, but we better go to him. Kurt, good morning.
G'day, Andrew. How are you?
Very well, mate. What have you got up with us this morning, mate?
Where's Terence, mate?
We just wanted to straighten up the show and get it really active and going, so we've sent him away for a fortnight on a holiday.
Oh, all right. That's all right. Everyone deserves a break, Andrew.
That's Boys, it. What's going on, mate?
I just want to congratulate the AJC, mate, for inducting Bal Marino, mate, the other day. Better late than never, mate. Unbelievable. My second favourite horse of all time. I just really, they need to be congratulated about that. That's the first.
Yeah, well done to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. The Australian Racing Hall of Fame and all the racing clubs around Australia, you know, they help out. But certainly it comes from a body that's separated from the clubs, Kurt. But, yeah, it was a grand effort. And, Duff, you were there. Just the moments around Hugh Bowman and John Maher, off what Glenn said on Saturday, seemed to go down really well as well.
Yeah, Johnny Maher went down well and they all went down well. It was a really good night and... we all congratulate anyone that gets into the Hall of Fame. It's obviously thoroughly deserved. It was a good night.
Any horses for us, Kurt?
Yeah, no, look, I just wanted to give a quick praisey of the classics coming up in England because they're coming up soon and geez. I've been watching them. Sorry?
No, go on. Keep going, Kurt.
Yeah, no, so for the Epsom Oaks, I'm going with a horse here, 26-1, named Maxad. M-A-Q-S-A-D. This horse romped in the other week at Newmarket, and it's from the Haggis Yard. The other horses in this race are...
Maxad, it's $9, Kurt.
$9, yeah.
M-A-Q-S-A-D, it's $9, yeah.
I got it at 26, soon as it won. The other horses in this race, it's such a good race, Annapurna, Hermosa, and Pink Dogwood. These are the horses that are going to be eyeing out the finish for sure there.
Right, well, they're second, third and fourth favourites. Pink Dogwood 5, Hermosa 7, Annapurna 9 on the same light as Maxad.
And as for the Epsom Derby, that too darn hot the other day coming second hasn't worried me. I'm still backing it to win it. I love
it's not running in it.
Sorry, mate?
It's not running in it.
Oh, it's not, is
no,
it?
Not running in it. It's been taken out of the market.
Do you know what happened to it, if he's all right?
No, I don't know, but we've got it as closed.
All right. Well, anyway, there's Anthony Van Dyke in that, Japan.
So $7 and $11.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Space Blues then. This is my other horse then. I can still get 51 for this. I saw it this morning. This horse won the other day for Charlie Appleby. This would have been my second pick anyway. And, I just can't see this Japan thing winning. I mean, he's winning everything, Aidan O'Brien, even the fixtures over in Ireland, but to come over here and face these good horses, I don't think it's good enough, mate, and it's just a silly price. And there's Circus Maximus that won during the week as well, and Sir Dragnet way over the odds as well. So Space Blues in the Epsom Oaks there, mate.
What about the Coronation Cup, Kurt? Anything in the Coronation Cup?
Oh, Duff, have you seen that field?
No.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm not going
to... What do you like,
Duff? Wasn't a strong yes from Duff.
I thought Kew Gardens deserved a favourite.
Oh, did you really? Yeah, you like that last one?
Yeah, just in front of Magical.
Yeah, just in front.
Yeah, then Lardy Gar. Yeah, Saloan. They look the top four, don't they?
I would have thought so. This stuff off the top of my head.
Yep.
Enable, Defoe, Stradivarius, Wissahickon, Latrobe, Communique, Red Verdon, Kew Gardens, Waldergeist.
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
Geez, you're good, Kurt.
No, Waldergeist is out, not running in it, Kurt.
You're right on top of
things. I can't believe it. Have you got any local questions here, Kurt? Because we are starting to run over time now.
I'm going to send another invoice.
Did you see Kubrick, Dino?
1024, they're calling Andrew. 1024, T number one.
Be getting 51 to 1 now in the JJ Atkins boys on Kubrick, that's for sure.
Why would it be going there? It's only up to 1,200. It's only 3 weeks away.
Oh, yeah, well, who said it was going to come to town straight after a Cranbourne Maiden and come to...
A strong race. I don't think anyone doubted that, Kurt, but yeah, it's...
not
a big ask if it's going to go to...
You're having a space odyssey there, Kurt.
Hey, Kurt, we've got a bit tighter this morning, mate. We've got to get going here because the guys are starting to get a bit...
If I can, Andrew?
We've got to go.
Oh, yeah.
Ronnie, in the Fred Best, is Military Zone still meeting Signor again?
I've read that Military Zone...
It's running this week up
there. Yeah, it's running this week, yes. Tommy Berry, was it?
Best this week?
Yeah,
it's running up there in Brisbane this week for Peter and Paul.
Yep.
Is that the Fred Best, Andrew?
Yeah, it's a set weight three-year-old race, the Fred Best.
Yeah, that's it, the Fred Best. That's it. All right, mate, we better keep moving. Have a good week, Kurt. Righto, there goes Kurt. Hey, Munns.
Yes, Andrew.
play like Brooks did this morning, mate, and you'll be looking for a different caper. But
I'll be playing like him on the front nine, not the back nine, Andrew, with any luck.
Yeah, he needed blinkers on the back nine.
Yeah, well, I need it myself.
Fair dickin'. Yeah, I turned it off in the end. I couldn't watch it. Yeah. Who's your horse to follow?
Re-edit for me. Forecast that earlier.
Okay, Glenn?
Oh, Asterius, he's one of mine anyway, but I'll just see where he goes after Saturday. We made him a horse to follow last time in. He was just a little bit disappointing, but he ran up to where I thought he'd be Saturday, probably about a half a neck off, actually, because that's how far he got beat.
Righto. Well, you head off. You have a good swinging few hours out there, mate.
Andrew, it's lovely to have you back, and it's you've taken over the show well. It's only 10:08, and we're signing off.
Well, I got the text from Tanya. You can go over. So that's what I've done.
No.
Thank you, Glenn. Glenn Munsey there from Tab. What's your horse to follow, boys. Dino?
Andrew, I am with a horse called Junipel. It was in the Kinedna colours, first up from a spell. Thought he ran really well for the mile. Used to stable, ran second, a big night out. That was probably the best race of the day there at Flemington Saturday. He'll win pretty soon, Junipel.
And what about you, Josh Fleming?
Andrew, a lot of black bookers out of Saturday, but one we didn't mention earlier was the Sacred Day, race number one, who jumped favourite there. Had no luck at all, was three and four back on the rails there, and a slightly run race. Did a great job to finish fifth in the end. So follow it, Sacred Day. When it gets maybe to Eagle Farm and a bit more speed, I'm more suited as well. So Sacred Day, I'll be following it.
Good on you, Josh. I hope the Gold Coast settles down and we race there on Wednesday. We'll hear from you then, mate.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Josh Fleming there. Duff, just one as we wrap up with you from Hammer. What did you think of Lover Lover in the Cup? There is a chance that it could back up this week in the Premiers.
Yeah, I thought she was sensational. She made the first move. She travelled wide, made a long, sustained run. I thought it was a brave performance and a forgivable performance. You know, she could have easily figured in that finish, you know, if she would have got better luck or a better draw in the run. So I thought it was a terrific performance.
And Dino Zottori for Allerton and Zara, we're going to see in Brisbane this week. Question from Steve, relevance around the Stradbroke. Is the horse up to the big Group 1 qualities?
The question on it, that might be the question. If it is at Group 1, you know, the absolute elite Group 1, he's going very well, that horse, and he's in form. So the form around him keeps stacking up, so I wouldn't say no. I'd be interested to see how he measures up there on Saturday for a start, though.
Okay, he'll run there on Saturday. Duff, thank you for that, mate. We'll hear from you through the week.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you. And Dean, we'll hear from you... Wednesday for Ballarat.
Yep.
Good on you, mate. Enjoy the week.
Thanks, Andrew.
And that completes our punters post-mortem with the guys, Ron Duffacy, Dean Lester, Glenn Munsey and Josh Fleming. It's on every Monday. It's regarded as Sydney Radio's longest running program. We're very proud to maintain it. And it's on every Monday from 9 o'clock. Tell your friends all about us.